Brian, how are you?
Good to hear your voice. How are things in Cleveland?
Well, actually, I prefer to note that I'm in Akron. There is that rivalry. Things are great.
Fantastic. Yeah, we've been having a little bit of a firestorm, so to speak, and it's just been a real pain. I was going to be on last week with you, but it was just too much. Too much.
We had a tanker truck on Route 8 around Cuyahoga Falls.
I saw that.
Outside of Akron. Blow up and actually send a stream of fiery liquid into the Cuyahoga River, which of course made all of us boring people, you know, post a Randy Newman tune, since it in fact did set the river on fire for a while.
You know, I have a little history on that too, because my grandfather was living up there in Lakewood at the time. Got a call, I think it was 1969, was it, I think, or 68, 69?
Yeah,
we were in Georgia, and I get this call, and it's like, Grandpa's on the phone and said the river's on fire. He's down there right now and he's looking at it. We're all like, yep, good old Ohio. Well, Harvey, so people know who you are. You and I have gone back many years, of course, because I'm from Ohio, from WKSU. And you were in the original band with Chris Butler and Ralph Carney and et al. With Tin Huey.
Right. Tin Huey was founded actually by myself, Michael Elward, and Stuart Austin. And then a few years into our history, we drafted Ralph Carney out of high school and brought him in. And then a couple years later, we got Butler in, and that was the band that ended up doing the Warner Brothers run.
Right, right. Then you, as from what I understand, and I back in the day, you released that. That was, who produced that album?
That was produced by Paul Wexler.
Paul Wexler. And I know that you ran through all the money like gangbusters, and they didn't have enough for the second release. Is that what happened?
Actually, that's not really true.
Oh, okay.
But something similar happened to that. We quickly signed at a time when we were able to get a really, really good deal. We were using the guys in Devo as our model. They were also negotiating with Warner Brothers, and they lived, they spent a lot of time across the street from me. So we got a kind of an idea of what they were going for, and we pared it down because, well, art rock for laughs isn't the same thing as Devo. So we negotiated a deal, and it was actually not really an unreasonable deal given the time. But then the record industry in 1979 actually went through something it had never gone through, regardless of economic conditions. It went with the rest of the nation into a big crash. And they just really didn't feel that they could afford to follow the blueprint that was set forth by the A&R person who signed us, the amazing and wonderful Karen Berg, who, like, year after year was voted A&R person of the year in Rolling Stone. May she rest in peace. Her idea was that she thought we were really an interesting band live, and that if we put out records and we just got on the road, that we would build a following like a number of bands have. However, the industry crashed before we could actually live out that blueprint.
Gotcha.
So we left Warner Brothers. You know, they basically said, we want to drop you, and we said, yeah, but you owe us for another album. And they said, well, we'll just bury it. And we said, well, then we'll just spend every penny and we'll give you some crap. And they said, okay, well, let's come up with
better configuration here.
A settlement of some sort, and then we moved on. We did a second album that we released on an independent label, an album called Disinformation, which had some older and some newer tracks, and that was one that had Chris Butler actually ended up producing a few tunes, Rob Sabino, the keyboard player from Bowie's Let's Dance Sessions produced a few tracks on that, and that was kind of a neat album, too.
What would you like to hear? Let me play that for everybody right now, and then we'll come back and talk some more off of Disinformation.
From Disinformation?
Yeah, what would you want to hear from Disinformation?
What haven't I heard for a while?
Let me see.
How about... oh, my goodness. I wasn't prepared for this. Now I actually have to remember song titles. I can't even remember the lyrics that I wrote.
How about Closet Bears?
Closet Bears by Ralph Carney? That would be great fun.
Okay, I'll put that one on. We'll be right back.
All right.
Thanks, Ari.
Thank you.
And from Disinformation, that's Tin Huey. When was that produced out? When was that one out?
Oh, my God. Brian, I can't even answer that. Honest to God, I played lead guitar on that, and I was sitting here listening to that thinking, I can't even listen that fast anymore. That was crazy. That was probably done right around 1980, 81. That was like one of the, what I guess we call demos for a second Tin Huey album. This explains a lot as to why there wasn't a second Tin Huey album. They wanted us to do an album filled with I'm a Believers, and we were coming up with stuff like this.
Well, that's what's really weird, is because, so, like, we all know David Thomas and Paraboo. I just talked to Robert, you know, the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they continued on with their little path and their strange thing, and they went to Europe quite a bit. Did you guys ever consider, I know Ralph played with everybody, Chris has played with many people, yourself as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just surprised you guys didn't just channel all that over into Europe, or, you know, let's go to Japan, or... Was that you actually did that? Maybe I'm mistaken.
No, you're not mistaken. I mean, I think probably right before we had Chris join the band, and then he and I kind of went nuts writing together and sort of reformatting the way Tin Huey presented. which led to us getting the deal with Warner Brothers. I had been bringing up the idea of taking the band and just saying hell with it and moving to Europe. But that's, you know, Tin Huey ended up being, the thing about us is that we were really eclectic. You know, I used to say, to the point where it got kind of tiresome, that we are what we eat, and we've eaten a lot of different stuff. And so the problem really is that we weren't really technically, you know, like a Wally band, a Canterbury band. We weren't a Soft Machine or a Faust or a Gong.
You were a Bonzo Dog Doodah band.
Well, we weren't the Bonzos either, although there was that moment in that song you just listened to. You know, we were not an easy band to peg, and we didn't fit into any particular genre, which, you know, I've come to, and when I talk about my new album, I say the same thing. It is absolutely that sort of eclecticism is the secret to our lack of success.
So I'm going to play something off that. This is the newest thing you have with Your Side of the Room. Tell me a little bit of history of what It's Messy, and there, it's volume one, so obviously there's going to be a volume 10 sometime, right?
Yeah, no, not at all. calling it volume one really had to do with the fact that everything is kind of messy. It's messy in terms of the eclecticism of the album. It's messy in terms of the world around us. As my wife said, it even gets messy sometimes figuring out what we're going to eat for dinner. So basically calling it volume one is really more of a suggestion that it's going to stay messy. And it's potentially going to get messier as time goes on. I don't know. I may end up recording and posting some material because I don't know that I'll ever actually stop. But I don't think I'm going to do another actual album. But it has to do with everything being messy, including relationships.
All right. This is a song called Your Side of the Room. Why did you call it Your Side of the Room?
Well, this is a song really about a failed relationship with a narcissist. I don't write normal songs. And you know, the idea is that there's a line in it that speaks to the fact that it doesn't matter what I tell you, it won't make any difference from your side of the room. When you're dealing with a crazy person, craziness is generally more powerful than sanity. I guess the thing about this song is that technically it's about the idea that if you're going to try to see whether you can have a relationship, we've all learned this at one point or another, you sort of have to dip your toe into the water perhaps a little farther than you might necessarily want to before you figure out whether you've got a good relationship or not. And the problem is that when you go to extricate yourself from the one that doesn't work, and it's with an insane narcissist, you sort of have to deal with it. And so this is a song that sort of speaks to it from both sides.
Okay, so Your Side of the Room, It's Messy, and I'll be right back with you, Harvey. We're going to put it on right now.
Thanks.
Bold decisions don't seem to me to be bold at all, boys. Experience tells me it has to do with having no choice. Taking stock of myself, I find I never felt quite so alone. I'm here to say, being bold's what you do when you got no home. You portrayed yourself as a smart girl. You framed yourself as desirable. Pretty indeed. Turned out strange, and when everything started to change, it was you who was sad. No more lessons to be learned, just mistakes to recognize. Oh, you break my heart, girl, I swear you do. What I say means to the rest of the world something totally different to you. I dip my toes. I could do that yesterday, but I won't be doing it again.
And that's Harvey Gold with Your Side of the Room with It's Messy Volume 1. And when did you release this? This just came out like a month ago, right, Harvey?
Yeah, it basically went on to all streaming platforms on, I think it was August 14th, and, you know, Smogvale Records and Amazon and some other carriers were able to start fulfilling CD orders by mail. It's scheduled to be in record stores, whatever record stores are open, and of those, what of those choose to order one or two in, on September 18th.
Mm-hmm. And it's being played very heavily on WMMS, I heard.
Is it?
No, that's a joke. Come on, jeez. Give me a break.
That would be really funny if, you know, they actually, like, pulled the kid Leo out of the crib and put him back on the air.
We make music suck. So that was
that
good.
That was funny. Because I will tell you, when you said that, I thought, Brian,
what
do you know that I don't know? Who had a stroke over at WMMS?
for the locals here and don't know, and we do stream here as well, is that WMMS was the powerhouse of rock back in the day, and the home of the Buzzard, because there's Hinkley, Ohio. And anyway, I think Tin Huey, you guys were played on there with what's that guy's name? Oh, God. Sunday Nights, The Weird Show. What's that guy's name?
Well, I don't remember.
Way back in the 70s. Because you and I actually go back before I even knew that you were in Tin Huey. You sold me my Neko amplifier at Audio Warehouse in Akron when I was like 16 or 15 years old.
And it still probably works.
It does, actually. It's sitting in, yeah, it's over in Akron right now, in the Yamaha, too.
Very nice.
So thanks for that.
Yeah, WMMS was a really great station at one point. I mean, they broke Springsteen, you know, basically towards from the Midwest towards the West. They did the same thing with Bowie. I'd like to say they did the same thing with Lou Reed, but that was sort of what breaking Lou Reed was at the time, such as it is, you know.
Right.
An extra 30 people heard of him, you know, west of the Mississippi, so...
Yeah,
And now it's just basically a corporate station.
Yeah, it's just corporate crap. And now you're living in Akron. You have a beautiful little casa. What's it called?
Casa del Oro.
What does that
House
mean?
House of Gold. House of Gold.
Beautiful. I'd like to get. I'll be coming out probably in fall. Maybe I should stop by with a mask on from a social distance.
Absolutely. Please do.
So you've come out with a new album. It's Messy. Now I was listening to the sound of that. And it's got a really full sound to it. Who's playing on it?
Well, that's the wonder of this album. The thing that makes me personally really happy with it probably points to Jeffrey Koval, who runs this studio in Akron called Stay Level. And he and I worked on recording four of the tracks at his studio, finishing up and doing replacements of tracks and mastering it all at his place, which makes a bunch of different diverse recordings actually kind of sound like an album. But he's another Akronite like me who ended up in Nashville for 13 years as an engineer. And like me, he moved back to Akron for love. And thankfully he did, because he's running a great studio. To answer your questions, question four of the songs on there were recorded by the last band that I was gigging with, the one that I have with Chris Butler and Bob Effington, who played drums in the 21st century version of Tin Huey, played percussion, a band called Half Cleveland. And we got together originally the day after Tin Huey got back together to play at the Rock Hall, and decided that we were a much more of a mobile unit than Tin Huey, with, you know, a couple people living on the West Coast, somebody else living in New York, you know, some in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So four songs with that band. Another four songs were recorded with a core band made up of Debbie Smith Cahan, who was the bass player for Chai Pig.
Chai Pig.
And then she was the original bass player for Half Cleveland, Chris's and my band, and Bob Effington on drums. And two of those songs actually have guests on them. Dan Auerbach, Black Keys, came over and put guitar tracks on two of those songs. And Chris Hillman, excuse me, of the Birds and the Flying Burrito Brothers and Desert Rose, ended up putting a mandolin track on one of my tunes.
Which tune was that? Let's play that one.
Oh, that's, well, Dan actually plays bottleneck guitar, and Chris plays mandolin on the song Allegheny Load.
All right, I'm going to put that right on now, and we'll be right back after Allegheny Load with Harvey Gold at KFJC, and interviewing Harvey here from his latest album, It's Messy. Be right back, Harvey.
Thanks.
Down the mountain road, horses died about a week ago. I don't think Jess is going home no more. Ooh.
Listening to KFJC, and for a current fire evacuation map for San Mateo and Santa Cruz County, please visit smco.communityzonehaven.com. You can visit the Cal Fire CZU Twitter page for evacuation information, updates, and also press briefings. Go to twitter.com, Cal Fire CZU. So tell me a little bit about that song. What does Allegheny Load mean?
Well, I jokingly call Allegheny Load a song that is it's West Akron Appalachian. I think that song more than anything probably speaks to that whole business of we are what we eat and we've eaten a lot of things. You know? the fact is that I've been known to say that with It's Messy, with this album, even though I'm very happy with it and it does feel and sound like an album, it really is like the same thing that went on with Tin Huey. My legacy, really, as a musician, which is that of the weather that you get in London or you get in Akron, Ohio, which if you don't like one of the tracks, just wait till the next one. It'll give you a whole different reason to not like it.
that's what I say about my shows. If you don't like it, tune me in about 15 minutes, and then you won't like it. That's right.
Yeah, there'll just be something completely different to not like. So,
yeah.
and that's really been how I've managed to stay interested over the years. And if you can't stay interested, you certainly aren't going to be interesting, and you're certainly not going to want to keep doing it at any given point. So, it's like your side of the room, the first track you played, it has a little bit of, geez, it's got a little section that could be My Bloody Valentine, another section that could be reminiscent of actually somebody, a reviewer noticed it, a little bit of Talking Heads. It's got a little bit of, squeeze box English traditional in it, and even a little bit of Beefheart in it. I mean, there are little bitty things that just sort of motivate me to try stuff, and then when I do, kind of cackle at it and hit the record button, and whoever actually manages to accidentally come into the room and listen to an album like this is going to have to pay the price.
What would you like to hear next on this album, if you don't mind? I'll play another song off of it.
No, that would be great. As a matter of fact, this also speaks to it. It might be, because we went from one song that was kind of some traditional rock formats to this West Akron Appalachian. If you play Idola inadvertently for Ralph, we can talk about that if you have a second afterwards, but this is again a completely different thing with analog synthesizer.
Cool. I'm putting it on right now. This is It's Messy Volume 1, and how do you say this? Idola?
The name of the song is Idola, inadvertently for Ralph.
Okay, here we go.
Always been an abstract, but I feel time passing. Always mere conversation, never felt in my fiber. If you don't try. Soon enough, if you're lucky, you will taste your time passing. So many ghosts now, you will see your time passing. You will hear your time passing, as you hear far less. Quiet room and you now, but I won't let silence stand. I'll just get louder, remembering the move now. Remembering to fear not, part of time passing. Through was great fun, so let's talk about my face. Is this what will be? Is this what will be for good?
Idola, huh? So what does Idola mean?
Idola is actually ancient Greek for spirits.
So. So how did you and Ralph actually meet? Ralph Carney, of course, he was always beloved here when he lived in San Francisco, and a lot of people got to know his craziness and wondrous nature.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ralph and I met at Disc Records at Summit Mall. I knew his big brother, Jim. And I don't remember who brought up Ralph's name, but somebody said something about how Tin Huey should think about Ralph Carney maybe as a sax player. And I remember we did a gig and had him come out and just hang out and play with us. And that was the end of it right there. He became my little baby boy and our sax player for, you know, pretty much as long as we did Tin Huey stuff, because even when we left Akron and we moved to New York and some of us were in Woodstock, some of us were in the city, you know, when we had tracks and we had stuff to do and we had a little tour here in 81 and 82, Ralph popped in with us and we went out on the road.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how all life goes on and moves forward and backwards and upwards and downwards. But Ralph, man, when he was here in San Francisco, you know, he lived over here in Vernal Heights, and I'd see him on occasion, you know, and it's just kind of, man, he was doing everything. I mean, he was performing a lot. I mean,
not long after I moved back from New York, I actually one day grabbed my bass and flew out to San Francisco and played with Ralph and a few other guys opening at some pretty large venue out there, opening for Colonel Claypool Presents Bernie's Bucket of Brains.
Damn.
It was a pretty interesting night. We had a lot of fun together. And yeah, Ralph's a busy guy. He played all sorts of stuff. I thought it was a really interesting development in his musical career when he did a couple of albums as Ralph Carney's Serious Jazz Project, because
yep.
One of the things that he had said to me about it was that he had played in so many bands that did so many things that he thought it was about time, and that he had developed enough stuff to literally just do what would be, you know, with a certain amount of latitude to the left and the right, a proper jazz album. And he did a couple of them.
Yeah, I had him in there at the station at KUSF, and he was sitting there and telling me all about it. And he was just going on and on. I mean, he could you know, riff forever.
Yeah, and they were beautiful records. They were great records.
Yeah, they're really gorgeous.
As a matter of fact, getting back to my record.
Yeah, I want to talk about this here. So this
the point, the reason I said it that way is because the song you just played, Idola, I had posted it up on Bandcamp a while ago. It's been remastered since for this album, but I put it up there because there was a sequence of events that surrounded me doing this song that had to do with Ralph. And basically what I did was anything that was made from any downloads of Idola and went to the to sweetrelief.org, which is to benefit, it's mainly, I think, focused on medical benefiting of musicians. In Ralph's name. With this album coming out, as it stands right now, there are two tracks on it. Each one, I'm putting aside, I know there are 12 tracks on the album, but I'm putting 10% aside for every sale of the album goes to Sweet Relief in Ralph's name.
Well, that's great.
And another 10% goes to the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Perfect.
And that came from my song The Fence, which was basically written about using the fence around my house as a metaphor. Inside the fence, my life is spectacularly happy right now. Outside the fence is this shit show that we're all dealing with.
Right. Let me play that right now. It's The Fence, and you're listening to It's Messy.
Firing on vapors, clawing with no claws, I fight against the sweets of slumber, chewing on all of it with aching jaws. Every day I hear the crying, yet the sun continues rising. If I'm slamming against the fence, the metal links are screaming. If I'm slamming against the fence, well, slammed against the fence. Every year grows us older, the last one more than most. It's become a hard, hard world, and I've grieved so many ghosts. But with you here in my life, a disturbing contradiction, 'cause what I feel is light as I'm thrashing about in darkness. But if I'm happy inside my fence, I'm still slamming against the fence. If I'm living here in heaven, why is it brimstone that I smell? They have guns and they got the lumber. Where's it lead? What's it leading to? I'm not lying inside the fence. Now I'm slammed against the fence. Spring here in sweet northern Ohio doesn't mean all things are right, but it means my life is right with you. Here I am emboldened, and now my friends are all on board, but they got the guns and they got the lumber, and the sky is filled with dropping shoes. I'm slamming against the fence and all the gates are open, but I don't want to leave you. So from
hey, Harvey, where can people go to the is it Bandcamp or Smogville, did you say? How can they download or buy a copy of this?
Well, it's oh, by the way, that really, really neat horn section at the end of that song was Ralph.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
You can go to smogvale.com and buy it. You can get it as a CD that way. You can get it CD on Amazon. Apple Music has it. It's on Pandora, and you know, it's on all of these streaming platforms. But we also made a point of putting it up on Bandcamp, if for no other reason, because Bandcamp, you can the way we set it up is you can listen to the album three times before they come after you to buy it. So you can really either find out if you love it, or you can get seriously sick of it and then walk away.
I think most people will buy it. My friend just actually posted. She said, "Ooh, I like the Allegheny Load."
Ah, well, tell your friend I said thanks.
What else do you want to hear? What would you like to talk about here? About anything? I know we're going through a pretty tempestuous times here, but musically, I'm glad you're still making things happen here.
I'm having a great time doing it. Somebody recently asked me, you know, are you going to do any sort of support to the album or anything like that? And frankly, I've got two other projects I'm working on, and being in a band where I have to like front it and play guitar and play keyboards, and you know, as Ralph once described me in a an interview discussing Tin Huey as leader guy. And that's really, really uniquely, I mean, that sounds like something Ralph would say. But I'm in two different bands right now. One is called the Hi-Fis that we've been recording some stuff and gigging, and it's very, very conventional American pop rock music forms, but it's allowing me to really concentrate on becoming a better piano player. You know, we do a song and I think, well, what would Nicky Hopkins do, or what would Bill Payne do if they had one arm tied behind their back? Because that's about as much as I could get done. So that's been really great fun. And then I've got another group called Golems of the Red Planet.
Great. I want to play something. That'll be the last. I'll play that song, either Hazer or Ziphim. Which one would you like to hear?
Gee, Willikers. Okay, that's our... I would probably, since I'm going to be sitting here on the phone listening to it, I think I'd probably like to hear Ziphim.
Okay, let me put that right on. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Listening to KCS, or KFJC. What am I doing here? I'm talking to myself. That's Ziphim with Golems of the Red Planet. And we're going to continue on with more music right after this.
It is a world that exists between the facts, the sounds and concepts that play out in a reality beyond the realm of consciousness. Patterns shift. Music is related. The ears, brains, synapses fire but shoot too far. You know you've heard it before, but something about it is unfamiliar, lost, like a new dimension that you think you can touch, but touch fails. The sounds are notes, but the notes aren't played on instruments that exist on the current plane your thoughts are on. Somehow, it is good, comfortable. You learn. You understand. You are listening to Naysayer. It is Thursday. The time is 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. It takes you out.
At KFJC, yeah, Naysayer tonight. That should be good. So, Mr. Harvey, golems, what does all this mean? What is this nonsense?
Well, this nonsense is an experiment that we're doing. My bass player, actually, Mark Allender, is sort of a John Zornophile. And John Zorn wrote pretty much an entire book of musical themes that he calls the Masada. And, you know, it's Zorn, so most of the stuff that's been done, really, it's been done with a jazz approach, where he writes these pieces where the music, if you just played what he has on the printed page, you play for about 40 seconds. So in a lot of the cases, the jazz bands are just riffing in between these things. And the one requirement is that you play what he wrote at least once. So we decided to start a surf band made up of a guitar, bass, drums, and a cello, and approach all of these tunes from, at least our starting point is always from a surf band approach to these Ashkenazi Jewish modality songs of John Zorn's. So, you know, I don't know, Brian. It's pretty messed up, but the nice thing about it is it gives me the opportunity to, you know, just simply concentrate on playing guitar, and it gives me the ability to, because we have to come up with all the connective tissue between repeats of the stuff that Zorn wrote so that we can actually end up playing for a few minutes. And so that gives me a chance to be a little more compositional, and in this kind of a band, it's more like a Tin Huey than anything else I've done since the Hueys.
Yeah, it's really fast. It's amazing. So, Harvey, thanks again for joining me here. I just want to play one more last song of It's Messy. So that's, again, whatever you want me to play here, I'll put it on.
Yay. Now that we've done all this other crap, play a pop tune. Oh, you know what? Do you want to make it shorter or longer? What
longer's fine, shorter doesn't matter.
You know what? This one should be fun. Do Silly Idea.
Okay, let me look here. Silly Idea it is. Harvey, it's always a pleasure. I'll give you a call later this weekend.
Sounds great. Thanks, pal. Take care, and everybody stay safe out there.
All right. Thanks, Harvey.
All right. Be well.
Gets pretty rough and pretty rugged, sitting, walking, living, eating, sleeping, and crying, alone without you. Maybe just all alone, and it's not you. No, it's not you. But you were the last one closest to my mind. He's just a conjure in my mind's eye. You were the last one ever brought to my life, so it's easier to see it when I feel like I'm dying. Is it a person? Is it a girl? Is it you that I need in my life? Do I have to have a wife for a while, not forever, just to make me feel all right, all right, all right? I got no right, I got no right, should be alone with my night. I got no right, should sweat it out, miss my life. Could it be with myself, be alone with my blind? I'll be a man, tall and strong, alone with my night. Asking questions, always asking why do I do what I do? What a silly idea. It's my heart, not my mind, that always runs the show.
my mind doesn't know that I got the right, I got the right to have you near me tonight. I got the right, I got the right to have you soon in my night. Don't have to be with myself, be alone with my night. I'm your man, tall and strong with you here tonight. I got the right, I got the right to have you near me tonight. I got the right, I got the right to have you soon in my night. Don't have to be with myself, have to eat all my pride. I'm a man, tall and strong with you here tonight.
Thanks again to Harvey Gold.